can you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 to 5. And it says there, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered round him and became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. So this morning, I want to speak for a short time about being faithful in sacrifice or faithful in service. Cyrus was the founder of the Persian Empire, and he once captured a prince and his family. And when they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" The prince replied, "I will give you half of my wealth." And the monarch then said, "And if I release your children, what will you give me?" He said, "If you release my children, I will give you everything I possess. And if I release your wife, what will you give me?" "Your Majesty," the prince replied, "I will give you myself." And Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed the whole family. All of them returned home, and as they were returning home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a very handsome man?" And with a deep look of love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me." Now, brothers and sisters, that is sacrifice. The one who is willing to give himself or herself for you. Sacrifice is a willingness to give. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, sacrificed himself for you and for me. He is the ultimate model of sacrifice. He died in your place and in my place so that we could have eternal life. He took off his robes of whiteness and righteousness, and he put them on you and me. And he took from you your filthy rags of sinfulness and unrighteousness, and he put them on himself. He substituted himself in your place and in my place. Now, I learned recently, somebody said, the only thing that most of us know about sacrifice is how to spell it. I hope that's not true of us. That we know something more of sacrifice. That we know something of the experience of sacrifice ourselves. You know, willingness to give out of a place of abundance is one thing. That's one level of sacrifice. But willingness to give when you are in need yourself is something else. And that is the type of sacrifice that is asked of every Christian. We are asked to be in a place where we are willing to sacrifice ourselves, not out of our abundance, but sometimes out of our need, because sometimes we are in need. And especially if you are called into a place of Christian leadership, or if you are called to be a pastor or a ministry leader, we need to have this ability to continue to sacrifice, to continue to give ourselves for those who follow us out of a place of need. This is a very special place in the Christian life. This is a very special place that every Christian needs to go to. In David's life, it was called Adullam. We learned last time that David learned to be faithful in little things and the natural things of life at Bethlehem, because that's the base, learning to be faithful in the little things. If we want to go on and if we want to rule and reign in life with Christ Jesus, we have to learn to be faithful in little things. And then we have to graduate to a place called Adullam, where David learned to be faithful in meeting the needs of others, even though he was in great need himself. It tells us that at Adullam, all those who were in distress or in debt or who were discontented, they gathered round him, and he became their commander. And it says he had a congregation of about 400 needy, debt-ridden, discontented people. And what did David do? He loved them, he served them, he met their needs, even though at this particular time, David himself was running for his life. I don't think you can be in a much greater need than that, than to have your life threatened and to be in need of safety for your own life. And here was David, a man whose life was in danger. And what does he do? He gives himself to looking after 400 discontented and needy people at this place called Adullam. A very important aspect of faithfulness is being faithful in sacrifice. Being faithful to your people. Being faithful to meeting the needs of other people, even though you are in need yourself. And so your people turn up for your group meeting, and it's an incredibly important aspect of your faithfulness that you are the first to be there. Even though sometimes you may be tired, you may be stretched, you may be pressurized, you may be emotionally drained, sometimes you may even be sick. And people keep coming. People never stop coming when you have an anointing. And we have to learn that even though we are emotionally drained and we are tired and we are fatigued, we have to learn at Adullam to be faithful to the needs of those who follow us. Adullam is the place where you don't run away. Adullam is the place where you don't back out or back down. Adullam is the place where you stand your ground. And you continue to love your people. You don't walk away from them. You love them. You serve them with all of your heart. It's called sacrifice. Welcome to the Christian life. Yeah? It's called sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for you. And that's what he asked you and I to do for other people. Is to sacrifice ourselves for the people who come through our doors. And we went on the streets of Ollerton yesterday, and we were serious about having new people come into us. But when new people come in, we also need to be willing to say, I will serve you, I will love you, I will be there for you, I will sacrifice myself for you. You see, the disciples in Mark chapter 6, Mark's Gospel chapter 6, they had been out in ministry and they came back. And obviously they were very excited because of the things that God had done through them. But they were also drained, they were tired, and they were fatigued. And Jesus could see this, and Jesus said to them, he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. There are times in the Christian ministry when you feel you need a place of rest. You need to get away from people because you've poured yourself out. People have drawn upon you and they have drained you, and you need to get away. But the crowd saw them go, and they ran on foot ahead of them, and when they got there, the crowd was there before them. And when Jesus saw them, he didn't say, let's find another place, let's go and get a quieter place. He didn't say to the crowd, go home, I can't meet your need tonight. The Bible says he had compassion on them. He loved them. Yeah, that's what somebody who's been at Adullam and learned the lesson of Adullam does. He sees the people, or she sees the people, and they have compassion, just like Jesus did. So he began to meet their needs, even though he was tired himself and the disciples were tired. And then it came to the end of the evening, and the disciples said, send them away so that they can go to the towns and villages and they can buy something to eat. What did Jesus say? He said, no. He said, you feed them. You've been out on ministry. We've been ministering to these people all day. They still have needs. They're hungry. You feed them. And here we are, even though the disciples were shattered and they were tired and they needed to be in a lonely place to recuperate, here they are, feeding 5,000 people, meeting the needs of other people, even though they are in need themselves. So it's like today, welcome to the place of sacrifice. Welcome to being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. We don't run away. We don't shirk out. We stand our ground, even though there are people around us who are very needy. Now, what is it that attracts all these people? Well, needy people follow the anointing. Wherever a church has an anointing, people will come. It attracts needy people. Anointing attracts needy people. Today, as we celebrate the festival of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, the day on which the power of God came upon Peter and the apostles, and they stood in the center of, not Ollerton, but of Jerusalem, and they preached the gospel, and on that particular day, 3,000 people gave themselves to Christ. 3,000 people not only gave themselves to Christ, but they attached themselves to Peter and to the other apostles. That was 3,000 people whose needs they had to meet that they didn't have the day before. And even though they were in great need themselves, they continued to preach and to teach, and they went from house to house. You see, people followed them. Why? Because they saw the power of God. And they saw the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon them. Amen? People follow the anointing because they are in need. And there are all sorts of needs in this world, And there are all sorts of anointings. You may have one anointing. I may have a different anointing. You may have an anointing to preach and teach. You may have an anointing to win the lost. Somebody else may have an anointing in administration. Somebody else may have an anointing to lay hands on the sick and they get well. There are all different sorts of anointings. And people are attracted to the anointing. If you and I make our anointing available to God, that anointing will attract people to come to Christ. Because people who are needy are attracted to the anointing. Adullam represents the need-orientated Christian life. When we all come to Christ, we all have needs. And we all need to be fed. We need to be prayed for. We need to be looked after. And we need to be cared for. And yes, people will draw upon you because they are needy. But let me say, you have to be ready for this, that some people who draw on you will not always be there for you when you are in need. Because some people, all they want is to have their needs met. And they are with you, and they will love you, and they will support you, and they will come to your group or come to your church as long as you are meeting some need in them. But the moment that you are no longer meeting their need, they are no longer there for you. This is a sad fact of the Christian life. Not something we want to dwell on, but something that if you are serious about following Jesus, if you are serious about being a leader in any church, it's a reality of the faith that people whom you have poured yourself out for time and time again, when you need them, they may not be there for you. Jesus poured himself out for thousands upon thousands of people during his life. But when he needed people at Calvary, how many people were there for him? And so today, I want to say to you that standing in a place of anointing is not easy. Standing in the place of Pentecost is not an easy place to be. Yes, it's wonderful. I still remember the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sitting in my student room in Maynooth College back in Ireland in 1973. And as I was sitting in my room and I'd heard the gospel preached to me at the dinner table 15, 20 minutes earlier, and I went back to my room and I was sitting at my desk. And as I was sitting at my desk, the power of Pentecost came upon me. And wave after wave of the presence of God swept over me. Pentecost came into my room on that day. And you know what? I've never been the same again. It changed my life. It changed the direction. It changed the course of my life. But one thing I have learned is that standing in that anointing has not been easy. Standing in the anointing, it costs you. There's sacrifice. It requires faithfulness in meeting the needs of others, even though you and I may be in need ourselves. It requires a spirit of sacrifice. This quality is essential if you want to be in ministry. If you want to be a pastor, if you want to be a leader, then you have to learn the lesson of Adullam, meeting the needs of other people, even though you need help yourself. And so, in your Christian walk, there comes a time when you have to make a switch. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Am I always going to be a need-orientated Christian? My motivation in coming to church or in supporting a ministry? Is it always going to be what I get out of it? What they put into me? Or do I come to that moment in time when I decide, actually, I need to be putting something back in? I meet so many volunteers, and they say, you know, this country has helped me so much. I have benefited so much from being in this country that now I want to put something back in. They came to a moment where they had a realization that it's not all about people pouring stuff out upon me or you, but it's actually about making that switch. A switch from having your needs met to helping to meet the needs of other people. It's a switch from being loved to being a lover. It's a switch from being served to serving, from receiving to giving, from having needs met to meeting the needs of other people. So the anointing attracts people and it brings great success. Like Peter on the day of Pentecost, churches grow, ministries expand because of the anointing. We can't do it without the anointing. It's the presence of God. It's the grace of God that causes you to grow. And it's the grace of God that causes you to give and causes our church to grow. It brings great success, as in the life of Jesus, of David, and of Paul. But it also attracts problems. Notice Peter. He had great success on the day of Pentecost. But very quickly, he attracted the attention of the religious leaders and of the Sanhedrin. And they were hauled up in prison several times. Paul, in his letters, tells us of all the sufferings and the tribulations and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the problems that he went through in his life. Why? All because he had an anointing to take the gospel of Jesus to the other nations. And so the anointing is going to attract problems. So don't expect that Pentecost is going to give you a problem-free ride. Don't expect that life is going to be a bed of roses because you have the presence of God and you have the anointing. The anointing attracts problems. First of all, even within the church, it attracts the jealousy of ambitious people. Some people are with you because they are ambitious. They are ambitious for position. They are ambitious for promotion. They are sometimes ambitious because they want your job. And when they see you being successful, and they see people following you, and when they see people attracted to your ministry, they become jealous. So the first problem is it attracts the jealousy of ambitious people. The anointing also will always attract the attack of the enemy, because Satan cannot attack God directly, but he can attack you. You are tested by jealousy and envy. You are tested by the attack of the enemy, but also all of our relationships are tested. Many relationships are based on convenience. But godly relationships are always based on covenant. There's a big difference between convenience and covenant. Some relationships are based on ego rather than service. Some relationships are narcissistic and not based on altruism. You know who Narcissus was? He was a figure in mythology. One day, he looked into this clear pool of water and he saw his reflection in the pool of water, and he grew so in love with himself that he fell in and he drowned. That's where narcissism comes from. Narcissism is love of self. It's egotistical. One thing I can guarantee you of, this I can guarantee you of, convenient love always gives up. Covenant love only gives up when God says so. when God speaks clearly and directly to you, and very often it's witnessed to by people around you. Convenient love will give up. Convenient love says, I am with you as long as you're meeting my needs, as long as I can have a platform, as long as you give me a microphone, as long as you let me prophesy or preach or teach or lead a group, I am with you. That's convenient love. At Adullam, you need a deep well. A deep well of grace. A deep well of blessing. A deep well where you learn to die to yourself. Where you learn that I have been crucified with Christ. I live now no longer in myself, but Christ, his strength, his power, and his anointing lives in me. You learn to draw upon that deep well. And in drawing upon that deep well, and in overcoming yourself, and in learning to be there for people even though you are in need yourself, God gives you more responsibility. You know, God promotes you because you learn to draw upon that deep well. You learn the meaning of commitment. And you learn that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Adullam is not an easy place to be in. You're in need. Devil is after your life. You're pressurized on all sides. And yet you're in a place of responsibility. You're in a place of leadership. You're in a place where people are relying upon you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it could be just something as simple as being on the rota here on a Sunday morning. And you're under pressure to be somewhere else. But you learn to meet the needs of the church. You learn to meet the needs of other people, even though you are pressurized yourself. This morning I want to encourage you that at that place, learn that there is a well at Adullam. There is a deep well of grace and of anointing and of power that's going to help you, because at Adullam you need the help of God.